EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. For you, the listeners of EMZT Radio Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. That's audibletrial.com/EMZT. Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am Bane Hellborn with my partner, the infamous MJ, who is back from his birthday week off.
Who are you people? What's going on? Where the hell am I? What? Am I back on Earth? Oh, man. I had a nice two-week, mission trip to Jupiter. Yeah. And, you know, as the space, as a space pope would. So, yeah, your friendly neighborhood space pope has arrived again after 2 weeks off. Of course, if you've been following the streaming schedule, you know that I haven't had 2 weeks off fully. Because we still have been, the streaming schedule still has been actively done. We have some fun stuff we've been doing. We have a new game to Zombie Stompin' Saturdays now.
Zombie Stompin' Saturdays.
Zombie Stompin' Saturdays. Or as the guy on the right would probably go, Zombie Stompin' Saturdays. Yes, we are now not just killing random zombies, we're killing Nazi zombies now.
That's Nazi. Right.
Yes, the Zombie Army Trilogy is what we're playing on Saturday nights, as well as State of Decay. It just depends on the mood.
Ah.
So nice. We're good there. So we get to basically kick the crap out of zombies that are Nazis. That's the only way to describe it, folks.
Okay. Okay. Red Snow, sort of.
Yeah.
Or Dead Snow.
Dead Snow.
Dead Snow. Sorry.
Except these have skeleton zombies as well.
Skeleton zombies.
Yes, skeleton zombies. That are the easiest things in the world to kill, especially if you're doing melee. But anyways, yeah. I digress. Oh, yeah. I am really happy, speaking of video games, which I know we have a video game segment, but there is a new thing in the Creation Club for Fallout 4 called the Noir Apartment.
Apartments.
Yeah, no. The Noir Apartment.
Okay.
It's called that, but you get a storyline that runs kind of like Blade Runner.
Oh.
Yes. There is a synth that is, a synth courser, I should say, that's been sent out to kill two synths that just realized they were synths. And, yeah, you basically have the option of picking up where he left off, or you can just let them go and run away.
Hmm.
But you get a swanky-ass apartment that comes with it.
Wow. Okay.
At least they're trying to keep Fallout 4 alive. I think they know Fallout 76 sucks. But I don't know that to be a fact. I'm not a beta tester. I couldn't tell you. Hey, we've got a few new albums that have come out this week.
Okay.
Lizzie Borden. I know a lot of you people that listen to us are fans of Lizzie Borden. They have a new album out called My Midnight Things. Mm-hmm. And Blabbermouth gives it an 8 out of 10, which is about normal range for a Lizzie Borden album. Hailstorm has a new album out this week too.
Oh, really?
If you have not heard it yet, the big hit coming off of that will be Uncomfortable, I'm sure, which is their single right now. And I have forgotten the name of the, I think it's Vicious. There it is. Vicious.
Okay.
Yes. Their next single is going to be Killing Ourselves to Live. That's going to be the next single off the album. And our friends with Epica have finally released, and we've talked about this for a couple months. For those of you anime fans, this is a must-have. Epica versus Attack on Titan.
Right. That's right.
So that is a must-have for you anime fans. So there you go. That's what's going on in the world. We'll do a new segment here coming up in a minute. We'll do a couple other things coming up in a minute. I got something I want to play with Bane here for a second when we come back, though. I'm gonna get you to prepare you. This is what we call a tease. Think about your favorite horror movies that don't involve a jump scare.
And we forgot to mention that we are having an interview with Alon Young from Indiegogo Campaign Patron, so do stay tuned for that, right here on EMZT Radio.
All right, people, let's move like we've got a purpose.
Affirmative.
Affirmative.
Chronicity, a state of prolonged duration, recurrent, habitual, chronic.
A new miniseries on chronic pain and illness by your friends Matt and Phil from Semi-Intellectual Musings.
We go beyond medical diagnosis to explore the often forgotten political, social, and personal sides.
You'll hear stories from extraordinary people overcoming extraordinary challenges.
Authors, entrepreneurs, volunteers, coaches, and caregivers.
They are so much more than their diagnoses, yet each have found ways to persevere.
You'll also hear some familiar voices from the indie podcast community,
showing that art, creativity, and passion are possible while living in chronicity.
These stories and more, starting April 1st at thesim.podbean.com.
I've locked all the exits.
People are here to protect you. They're soldiers.
It won't make any difference.
This is Lucan Wolf, and you're tuned in to the delightful darkness of EMZT Radio.
Hi, everybody. Miss Starling here for Starling's All-American Lamb Chops. Have you thought about dinner tonight? I know I have. Usually, it's some cow. There's some chicken and some pig roaming around somewhere. Well, have you thought about lamb? Lamb's all natural. It's all great. And plus, it ain't that bad for the environment, like them nasty cows and them nasty pigs. Starling's All-American Lamb Chops, made right here in our farms in West Virginia. And you can't get any better grass-fed lamb than what you see in the stores. Remember, it's got to have the name Starling written on it for it to be high quality. That's right. We only ship the highest quality lamb meat all around these great United States. God bless America. I sure do love it. That's Starling's All-American Lamb Chops. It's guaranteed to make you scream for more. All right. So, I told you before the music to get your mind going on your favorite horror movies that do not involve jump scares.
Okay, right.
So what is your favorite movie that does not involve a jump scare? Favorite horror movie, that is, that doesn't involve a jump scare. Because I have a list for my horror that may help jog your memory.
Yes, help me with that.
All right, so these are the top 19 best modern. Now, they said modern horror, and it doesn't look anything as before 2000 in this.
Okay.
Okay. So this is the best modern horror movies without a jump scare, because that seems to be the way things are going lately with horror, is we're getting away from jump scares for a while.
Yeah.
So, and I'm cool with that. I like that, because that means you actually have to put a little more thought into your movie. All right. So number one, from 2008, Lake Mungo. If you've seen that one or not.
No, I haven't seen.
This is a mockumentary. I don't want to use the term faux documentary. It's a mockumentary about alleged supernatural occurrences following a young girl's tragic drowning and an eerie ghost story that never yells boo. Lake Mungo's mystery continues. I'm reading that verbatim for my horror. To unravel until the last scene, which reveals many more layers to this creepy paranormal tale. Kind of feels like Twin Peaks in a way.
Oh, wait, I did see that. Right. Yeah, there was no jump scares in that, definitely.
All right, here's one. I know you've seen, because I've seen it. Emma Roberts starred in The Black Coat's Daughter. This was from a few years ago, 2015.
No, I haven't seen that one.
It's actually a really good one. You should see this one. Yeah. Tragedy befalls two students who are stranded at an all-female prep school during the winter break. The Black Coat's Daughter is a slow, creeping infiltration of evil. Without delving into spoilers, the foreboding film does not reveal its true threat until it's already too late. This one will haunt you long after the credits. And it's true. It is probably one of the best psychological horror movies in the last 20 years.
Okay.
Hereditary.
Right, there were no jump scares in that one.
No jump scares on that one. We're not even going to go into this because we don't want to give away spoilers, since I think it's still in theaters. Left theaters.
Yeah.
So, oh, here's another one, and this might be my favorite. It Follows.
Right.
It Follows never had a jump scare.
Nope, it didn't.
So that was a very much an interesting one. Okay, here we go. The Babadook.
Right.
Yep.
No jump scares in that one either.
No jump scares in The Babadook. Nope. One from last year, The Ritual. That was a really good one.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching that over and over again. I think I'm up to 6 or 7 times.
It's a great movie. If you haven't seen The Ritual, you need to just put this podcast on pause right here and just watch that movie.
Yeah. There was definitely no jump scares in that. And you would, it's like in the background, you can see something in the background. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Yeah. But it's not, didn't jump out at you. Definitely.
Another one that's becoming my favorite, and it's been out for, I know it's been out for a few years, but it's slowly becoming my favorite. It's really growing on me. The Witch. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that had no jump scares either.
Mm-mm.
Right.
And you know what's one of my favorites, because it deals with the witches in the 1600s, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, here's one I haven't seen yet because I don't have Netflix. Yes, I don't have Netflix, people. Hush.
Right.
Hush is very interesting, though, because it is a home invasion movie with no jump scares.
Of a deaf woman, that's why.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Let's see here. The Wailing, 2016.
I didn't see that.
I haven't seen that one either. It looks good. Let me tell you about this one. A mysterious illness follows the arrival of a stranger in a small village, and police must figure out what's going on to save his afflicted daughter.
Hmm.
So it's a zombie outbreak movie that's basically not a zombie outbreak movie.
Okay. Interesting.
Now, I have seen this one. this one is not bad. It's not going to ever be up there as far as my top 10 horror movies of all time, but it was definitely will be in my top 50. Mm-hmm. A Dark Song.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I did see that one. Oh, my.
That one probably will be in my top 20, but it's not top 10 quality, but it's top 20.
Yeah, but there was no jump scares in that one either.
There was no jump scares. Yeah. You didn't fucking need jump scares in that one.
No, didn't need it. No.
Tell you that much.
No.
All right, here we go. 2016's The Void.
Right.
That movie was creepy as hell.
You know, that has gotten a lot of flack in some horror forums. People found it stupid.
Well, it's really a movie that should have had jump scares but didn't.
Yeah, it could have used it.
It could have used a few, but it's still creepy.
Yeah,
but still. All right.
Yeah, I found it good.
Here's the next one, Last Shift, which I have not seen.
Right. Oh my God, it is so good.
Rookie cop that, on the job.
It's they're closing down a police station before the new police station opens. And they have this rookie cop sitting on the last shift. And a lot of weird, weird, bizarre shit happens.
So it's basically
but there was
Paranormal Activity without jump scares.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's just...
And a story.
They just walk right up to you. There's There's no jumping out. It comes right to you. So
how about this one? This one's all right. The Blackwell Ghost. I'm not 100% happy with this
one. Nah, I haven't seen that one.
Let's move on to the next one. Yeah. Oh, this one is another one that's creeping up into my top 10. The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
I still haven't seen it, so shut up.
Okay. I will not give you any spoilers, but I just want right now, and I know they're listening, Jasmine and, well, there. Mostly Jasmine, but Sarah, too, thank you for recommending me this movie. That's all I'm going to say.
I want to see it.
No. Bone Tomahawk. I've not seen this one, but this looks like this would be fun for me.
I haven't seen that one.
It's a horror western, so it'd be kind of interesting.
Which there's not many of those.
Good Night, Mommy.
I haven't seen that either.
A mother is often a safe haven for children. Good Night, Mommy immediately creates a sense of distrust and isolation. But making the mother a suspicious character. Is she a doppelganger? Oh, this one. I've seen this one. I need to see it a few more times before I'm actually sold on it. But it's called Honeymoon.
Oh, yes.
Honeymoon, 2014.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no jump scares in that. It's like, what the fuck? That's what comes out.
Oh, here's another one that's creepy. I've only seen this one once. Gerald's Game.
Oh my God. That was fucked up, is all I can say.
Yeah. Now, this is basically a Stephen King movie, so.
Yes, it is.
And number 19 is a very interesting one. The Orphanage.
I haven't seen that one.
I've seen this one, I think, once, twice, maybe. It's not... Everybody loves it. Everybody thinks it's one of the greatest supernatural movies of all time. But, I mean, it's like... kind of still on the fence about it. It does have a lot of tension in it. I'll say that much. So it's something I really enjoy. But I'm not going to sit there and say it's the best thing I've ever watched in my entire life. But, it's a good movie. I'm not going to sit here and crap all over it. So there you go. There's the list.
Okay.
Anything jump out at you? Ah! Okay, let's go back to some music then.
As the clock strikes 12 again, we rise, twilight in our eyes, casting shadows on the walls. We dance as the moonlight calls, spirits burning.
like to keep this handy for close encounters.
I heard that.
Hey everyone, this is Beaumont Bob from Bowing with Bobcat. You can listen to me live every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern at sfdradio.com, where I'm bringing you the best of the worst in cheap booze, talking bum wine, beers, 40s, malt liquor, and more. Always featuring the latest and greatest in the world of drinking and entertainment, along with some special guests. So come on down and take a ride with Bum Wine Bob. If you can't be there live, you can always listen in the archives at bumwinebob.com. So sit back, relax, grab a drink, and enjoy. Cheers.
Jesus is back with a vengeance. You've seen the Passion of the Christ. Now behold his fury. Framed for a crime he didn't commit and left for dead. Jesus is back.
The Horror Gaming Report brought to you by ThatTechShop.com. Head over right now to ThatTechShop.com and type in the code EMZT at checkout for 20% off of all items for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox.
EMZT Radio Minis. This creepypasta we will be doing is called Entity 404. Minecraft creepypasta.
Okay, tell us about Entity 404.
Alright, he's a father of three.
303.
No, there's two in one also. At least I think there's two in one. But yeah, Entity 404 is a white figure with red eyes. The original one was he was a dusty-looking thing with a scythe, but I guess, you know, years change. I want to say he was a type of was like a hacker or like an error, and I think Herobrine's still better than Entity 404 and a bunch of other stuff. But I don't really remember that much stuff of it. Usually my friends will try and just do random stuff until we find creepy stuff that happens in, like, caves. But I don't really remember that much stuff from Entity 404.
Okay. According to this, Entity 404 is a stalker in Minecraft and the father of Entity 303. His real name is William Entity. 303 is his second son, because his first son is named Gordon, died. He had a wife who died. Entity 404 is undead, and he doesn't have a very detailed appearance. His entire body is completely white, his scleras are pitch black, and his eyeballs are blood red. 404 expresses his emotions with his eyelids, since he has no mouth. Apparently, he helps 303 do stuff. Signs of Entity 404 being inside your Minecraft world include signs reading 404, Immortal Ender Dragon, Gas endlessly spitting fireballs. He doesn't have any weapons normally, but if he does, he uses an iron pickaxe.
Also supposed to be a scythe.
He also says, pray to God that you'll live. Ooh. Doesn't speak much unless it's with his son. When he does talk to his victims, he uses the chat. Much like his son, he will appear in Minecraft at 4 a.m., usually to frighten players and sadistically taunt them. Ooh. Okay. This is pretty creepy.
Ha, that's cool. The mouse is a Herobrine head. Oh, no, I guess. Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
And then
that's pretty cool. Oh, and we click on stuff.
It says the page does not exist. Oh, my God. There's nothing here.
Wow.
Because look, it says, page does not exist. Oh, it's not 4 a.m.
Oh, does it open up when it's 4 a.m.?
Oh, I'm getting out of that. Don't want that to be a virus.
That would be bad.
That'd be bad.
That'd be bad.
So how did you find out about Entity 404?
Okay. So, back way back when, Minecraft was very peaceful, except there was griefers. We used to talk about Herobrine, and Herobrine, you know, Herobrine, was very well known, the first creepypasta of Minecraft. And if there's any others, then you're a hack. Because the first creepypasta of Minecraft was the man named Herobrine. And his signs are like trees that have no leaves, just wood. And it'll, and sometimes it will say like German words backwards or German words. But once we looked up new Minecraft creepypastas, we found Entity 404 and Entity 303. So, we tried to do something with, like, we broke our Herobrine spawner, which never worked. We were lucky, because once we learned what happens to your world and what happens to your PlayStation, it pretty much explodes. But, yeah, we're lucky we didn't keep that up. So, I don't know how to spawn Entity 404. So, we just tried to do what his things were to do. So... Yeah. Didn't work, though. We were pretty scared, actually. Because apparently your PlayStation can actually fry if it works. Just like one YouTube video where this guy actually found Herobrine, I guess. And his PlayStation was actually smoking.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, it was literally... It wasn't on fire, no. It wasn't on fire. Nothing was wrong with it the other day. It just, like... downright had a seizure explosion, tried to kill itself, tried to go like, oh, need to shut down forever.
So what else do you want to say about Entity 404?
Don't spawn him, dumb pieces of blocks, and if you do it, I don't know what will happen, but if you really do, good luck. Don't say it was someone else that had you do it. Honestly, just don't do it. Bye-bye. This has been your boy, Boom Doom. And, you can go now. Bye-bye. See you later. Stay in school. Don't do drugs.
But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
We have a serious
problem.
What's up?
I don't dive anymore. You gotta tell me a problem. And I'll say no. You're gonna offer me money.
I'll still say no.
You're gonna appeal to my better nature. And I'm gonna say no. Because I don't have one. So I say, why don't we sit down, we'll enjoy a couple of beers, and then we can get you on your way.
Jonas, this happened this morning.
Lori, I have a contact.
Oh, it's huge.
It's crushing me.
There's someone down here.
They may have encountered the same species you did down there.
It's a shark.
It's a megalodon.
Excuse me?
I said...
a megalodon. A living fossil.
Thought to have been extinct over 2 million years.
Wrong. A lot of people are gonna die if we don't find it and kill it. She's coming.
Of course you would think it's a she.
It's a great day to go fishing.
He's kidding, right?
Are you saying we opened up a superhighway for giant sharks?
No, just a meg. I'm gonna make this thing bleed.
This is EMZT Radio. Come and let your ears bleed.
And we're back. And today we are talking to Alan Young from Indiegogo Project Patron.
Hello.
Welcome, Alan.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. And I just wanted to say... just a big thank you, obviously, for inviting me on to promote Patreon, but also for your support, because you guys have actually, I was just thinking about it today, you guys have been retweeting like Patreon from like the very beginning, I think. So
yes.
Just, you know, really, really appreciate that level of support. And yeah, it's good. It's really good. So I'm happy to be here.
Oh, you're welcome. Yes. Let's talk about Patreon. This sounds like a really interesting movie.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, the way that we describe it in the pitch video on Indiegogo is it's Get Out meets Twin Peaks, and it's basically the story of this ambitious young girl who is trying to rise up the corporate ladder, and she goes for an interview with these two kind of very sleazy, faceless male interviewers, and it becomes apparent fairly quickly that they're not interested in her skills or her talents, and they're really just kind of, they're basically just trying to break her down and it's to make her servile. And what happens from that point on is that just when they think they've got the upper hand, she kind of unleashes her dark supernatural power and all hell breaks loose. That's kind of, in a nutshell, that's kind of what it's about.
Wow. And what inspired this story?
I mean, just to be honest, it was the whole Me Too movement. I wrote it last year when news of Harvey Weinstein came out, and obviously it's quite appalling to hear the kind of things going on. And it, you know, I'm fairly new to the industry as well, and I just kind of wanted to put my best foot forward, and I was quite appalled at the stuff that I was reading about, you know, this industry that I'm trying to get into. And yeah, I just kind of wanted to do something good as my first sort of official project, and so I just sat down and I wrote it, and then obviously it just became a bigger and bigger thing because it's taken a while to get the team together. So now obviously, like, the Me Too movement is it's this huge global movement, and also that they're finding that it's this culture of sexual harassment has arisen in a lot of other industries that are not the kind of typical showbiz industries as well. So it's just kind of far reaching, basically. That's certainly what I'm reading and I'm seeing when I read up about these stories now.
Yeah, it's a big subject. That for the longest time, showbiz has been labeled that, you know, it's behind closed doors on the casting couch that all this happens and it's okay, it's the only way to do it. But
and then
people are finally standing up and going, no, it's not okay, we're not going to accept it anymore.
Yeah,
so yeah, it's yeah. you've taken on a big subject.
Well, like I said, I'm starting out, and I was quite disturbed at what I was reading and what I was seeing, and I really just wanted to kind of put something positive out there, or send a positive message, like as my first project. And that was why it was important as well, because I think it's fair to say as well that, I mean, it's an issue that it's an issue not just for women but for men as well. Like, sexual mm-hmm. harassment can obviously occur to men too. I mean, there was Kevin Spacey and Terry Crews, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's predominantly been an issue with women. So I wanted to do a female character and kind of create this, you know, dramatic situation around the interview process. And yeah, but at the same time, it's really important for me to get a female voice on board. So I found Emily Haig, who is the producer and the co-director, and she also worked on the script as well, mm-hmm. just to make sure that it had a female perspective, and that, you know, that we were just doing the character right, basically. And she's also very helpful in assembling a female crew as well, because I thought that was quite important. I just wanted to make sure that there was a female voice at every stage of the production, basically.
Wow. And you're the writer and co-director as well.
That's correct. Yeah.
And you said you were doing something else?
Producing as well. Yeah.
Oh, many hats.
Many hats. Too many.
Is this a feature film, or is it going to be a short film?
There's definitely mileage for a feature. I think one of the conversations that I had with Emily was that this could be like a female falling down. I don't know if you remember
right. The
Michael Douglas film.
Yes, right.
You know, she's just kind of angry and frustrated at kind of all the ways in which a woman can be affected adversely by society as it is, and she kind of goes on a rampage. So there was always this idea for a larger project, but certainly at the moment this is just a short, and we're just going to finish this this fundraising, and then we're going to look to shoot it next month. So it's all happening fairly quickly,
and you're down to a little over 2 weeks left for the fundraising.
That's correct.
We're looking for £5,000, and you're up to $1,135. Nice.
Yeah, it's gone, you know, it's a lively campaign, and it's gone quite well, and just been really surprised at some of the sums that are coming in, because I don't know, this is my first fundraiser, and I was expecting a lot of small contributions to come in, but it's actually we've had a lot of people go for the associate producer perk, which is it's like over £100 basically. So I was right. quite surprised, and obviously quite delighted to see that, because it just seems that some people feel very strongly about the project and have committed that kind of cash to it, really. So just being really, again, just really humbled by what I've seen, and it's going well, and we've got a bit longer, and then obviously we might take the decision to extend it, because you can do that with Indiegogo. You can extend it for like another month. So we're mm-hmm. considering doing that too. But we'll just see where we get to in the next couple of weeks.
Well, this is a subject that does need to be addressed. And I am looking forward to seeing how this turns out. can you tell us about your cast?
Yeah. We've got Deborah Wilde, who is a really talented actress. And she just kind of, we had an audition with her. She sent us her audition tape, and then we had another interview with her like afterwards. And she just has the full range. And I really wanted this role for the kind of protagonist, Vicky Black, to be just kind of like a real showcase. So you got, you know, this character is really bubbly. And then obviously quite vulnerable at one point. And then she kind of turns the tables and she flips and she becomes quite menacing. And I really feel like Deborah's got all that, you know, she's just got this incredible range. So I'm really looking forward to seeing her do the full thing now. And then Jamie Lee Hill's just a really talented actor. And he's just, he sent us his audition, and it was just this fantastic, like really layered character. He just added extra dimensions to the character of this kind of sleazy interviewer that just weren't there in the scripts, if I'm going to be honest. It was just additional stuff that he's put in, and I was just like, wow. So really, I think just sparks are going to fly when those two get together and we actually shoot on the day. So really, really, really strong cast. So I'm really happy with that. But yeah, so it's good.
Okay. So where is it going to be filmed? Is it going to be, is this going to be like a one room thing, or is it going to be like a whole journey?
It's going to be one room. It's a chamber piece.
Okay.
Yeah. So for creative reasons, as well as the obvious economic reasons as well. So yeah, it's going to be set. We've got a great location that we've already scouted. And yeah, it's just it's quite good because it's sort of open walled. So as filmmakers, it just means that, you know, getting the lighting rigs and getting all the kind of technical stuff in isn't going to be a problem because you're not dealing with the sort of normal architecture of a building. So it's right. It's actually more like a set. So it's really, really handy. So yeah, like really looking forward to using that place.
Okay. And how many cameras are you using, or are you going to be using, like, I saw someone film a movie with just an iPhone.
I think you got to be at the height of your game to be able to film something on an iPhone and do it justice. We're not going that way.
Okay.
Yeah, we're using a Sony camera.
Hey Matt, your turn.
Oh, wow. Okay. Sorry, we had a
Matt,
lot of
your turn.
I don't know what that was. It was like background noise.
Yeah, that's not a tornado flying past your window, Matt.
No, that actually had the thing muted the entire time, so that would be broke thunder going through. I don't know what that was. But are you looking for, I mean, are you going to get any more type of investment outside of Indiegogo, or are you just, or is this it?
I don't think for what we need, I think the optimum amount of the optimum budget is 5,000. So we really are looking for that amount. I mean, it could come from other sources. There may be other things that come afterwards, and that would be fantastic if that is the case. And that just means that we can do a bit more in post-production, obviously with the visual effects, because we've got some fairly ambitious effects that we want to do, like after the fact. So that, well, there are a few practical effects as well. I mean, it would be fantastic for that, because that would give us maybe more freedom to experiment, but we've already been doing VFX tests and they're looking really good. So I think we should be able to do it for 5,000. I think that's a really kind of realistic and, like I say, optimum budget. I don't think we need to necessarily go, well, I mean, obviously it would be great because then we can just pay ourselves more, which is always good. But that's not ultimately why we're doing this. So,
well, and I like asking this a lot of the small and micro budget people. What's been your biggest challenge so far? Maybe there's something you'd like to do, and then you found out, ooh, that might not be in the budget.
I think it was. I don't know that. I think the biggest challenge is obviously is probably the Indiegogo, just the whole process of doing that. And you know, you've got to be on social media 24/7. You've got to be chatting to people all the time, just kind of, you know, I was on Reddit forums yesterday, like posting adverts, so you're just trying to find new ways of just getting it out there into the public consciousness. So I think this is probably the hardest part. But in terms of like the practical side of filmmaking, this was written as a chamber piece. This was written for a specific budget in mind. So there haven't really been any kind of massive compromises that we've had to do at this point. I mean, that might come later on the day. It just might be that we don't get all the footage that we need, or, you know, there could be perhaps something could go not as planned on the day. In which case, yeah, we're going to have to think again and come up with a plan B. But it's all looking pretty good at this point in time.
Oh, sweet. Now, what got you into, you know, movie directing and things of that nature?
The pure escapism of cinema and of fiction generally. Like, I was one of those kids. I was just kind of away with the fairies, really, and just either reading books or just like watching, you know, just, I don't know, everything Star Wars, Transformers cartoons, just like sitting way too close to the television, that kind of thing. So it was always part of me, I think. And it's just been really good to actually sit down now and try and do it professionally. And yeah, you know, it's going well.
Was there anything specific that made you look and go, okay, this is, I think I want to do this for the rest of my life, or something like that, or anything that got you into, you know, certain genres or of that
nature? Yeah, I don't know. I think, like, certainly on the sci-fi front, it was probably Blade Runner. That's hence my Twitter handle, Tears in Rain. It was just like, you know, it was just that audio visual experience, just something. So it was just a total, it was a complete world, basically. And I got to kind of just disappear into it every time I watched it. So I love that. On the horror side, I think, like, I've always really liked horror. And there are, like, some examples, like the one that's really stuck in my head, like, over the last couple of years is The Witch. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Which was just, you know, I like the jump scares and all that, but I also like a real haunting piece. And that was just, you know, absolutely chilling. And it was so tense, and it just kept building and building and building. So that really kind of left an impression on me, actually. So I really, really enjoyed that. And then, like, I don't know, like, in terms of horror, I remember, like, People Under the Stairs. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I love that film. Yeah, it was so good. Like, so, so good. And then, yeah, I don't know, like, there's one about voodoo with Bill Pullman. That's another one from my childhood. That was
Serpent in the Rainbow.
So Serpent in the Rainbow. Yeah, yes. I love that. Just the whole idea of being buried alive is just, like, such a sort of chilling concept. So, yeah, there are lots of horror movies. I think in terms of, like, going forward, in terms of the kind of things that I want to do, it's probably 50-50. It's probably 50% horror and then 50% sci-fi. And I kind of want to be able to go into both worlds. But also, like, with my horror, like, really building up a sort of mythology. So there's a bit more kind of, I guess, like, you know, Clive Barker with Nightbreed and Hellraiser, like, he really built, like, a sort of mythology. It was like horror fantasy almost, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
His stuff. So I think I'd probably be going down, in the long run, I'd be going down that sort of route. So creating kind of horror fantasy films.
It says Patron marks the first of your Voices trilogy.
Ah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, the whole point of the Voices trilogy is to tackle some sort of relevant social theme. So in this one, it was sexual harassment. But also to kind of marry that with, like, innovative visual and sound design. And so that's kind of the sort of concept behind the three of them, is to really kind of push, like, how it looks and how it sounds, so that they don't look like your typical shorts. Yeah, they're all going to tackle, like, kind of, I don't know, societal issues. But they may not be as, I don't know, like, they're not necessarily, like, it's not beating people over the head with any of it, though. It's just kind of like, it's an underlying theme that runs through, like, all three of them. But at no point is it, like, I don't know, is the intention to give anybody a brow beating.
Yeah, like Dawn of the Dead was about commercialism.
Oh, yeah, with the shopping malls. Yeah. Yeah, oh, that's, like, do you know what? I actually, like, I'd say that is probably, that was a big film for me in my teenage years. Like,
yes,
I loved that film. Absolutely adored that film. But yeah, like, maybe in the similar sense, like, there's a kind of underlying theme in Dawn of the Dead, isn't there, of kind of, like, conspicuous consumerism, and but you don't have to know that to be able to enjoy it.
Personally, I didn't know that's what it was about.
I don't know that I did when I watched it as a kid, but then obviously as I got older and then I read about it, then I did learn that, and I was like, oh man, and then I watched it again and I was like, oh yeah, I could really see it at that point.
Yeah.
Do
you think you'll continue in this line of shorts, like, instead of just trilogy, are you going to continue on with more of a series?
Well, you know, I've got a couple of features already written, and I've got a long form story as well, which is science fiction, which is, like, it's long, it's really big, and there's a lot going on, and it's a complete world, and you know, it's just I love jumping in and working on that. So really, I think what the plan is to do three shorts and then get funding for a feature.
Nice.
Yeah. So it probably will be the Voices trilogy, and then after that, moving straight on to directing a feature, one of the features that I've written.
Are you going to be taking these films to the film festivals?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. So we'll be going to we'll be submitting to horror festivals, and also to, I guess, like experimental festivals. Although I hesitate to use that term because I think it is like what we're doing is fairly commercial. It's just in the way that, say, I don't know, like we're using visual techniques and, say, you know, like Requiem for a Dream. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yes. You know, the way that they use sound and basically sound and visuals to kind of push the drama forward. Like that's kind of what we're doing. So it's not experimental in a way that's kind of, I don't know, that kind of alienates people. It's experimental in a way that kind of pulls you in.
Nice. Anything else, Bat?
Well, if you've got nothing else, Bane, I guess we hand him the floor and let him promote.
Yes.
Well, yeah, just, you know, we've got just under like, or just over 2 weeks left. And, you know, films like this, they're quite unique and they're quite rare. Like, so they really do, like, they really do need people's support and donations. So if you hear this and you like the sound of what we're trying to do, then please, you know, just come to our Indiegogo page and just fill it up, basically, until we've got enough to make it. But yeah, like, I guess that's it. Yeah.
All right. I really love the perks that you have them all, like strong female leading women who are strong and been like, like Ellen Ripley, Sarah Connor, Mulan. I mean, I found that really interesting that you did it that way.
Well, I you know, I can't take credit for that. That's actually Emily, the producer's idea. But I think it's, you know, it's an inspired idea. I think it's really good. And it just sort of fits the sort of mission that we're going for with patrons. So they're pretty cool.
Yeah, it totally fits. I found that so well done. Tell her she's brilliant.
Oh, I get tired of saying that to her, but yeah, I'll tell her.
Brilliant. No. Yeah. Well, you're brilliant too for taking on such a big topic. And So let's see, what else? Anything else you'd like to talk about?
I mean, if you guys have got questions, any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them. So, yeah, it's your call though. But
did we talk about how many days you're filming?
Yeah, it's just one day. It's one day, but it's going to be a very long shoot because it's quite a long. I mean, it's not long in terms of, like, you know, I don't know, like a normal viewing experience is quite short, but for a short film, like they tend to be under 8 minutes, and so it's a bit longer. It's like 14 minutes. So that's actually, when you think about actually the setups that are involved on the day, like that's a really long shoot. So it's going to be we're going to be pulling out, you know, all the stops, and it's going to be over many hours. But it will be worth it. It will totally be worth it.
Wow, 14 minutes. That's like the shortest time I've ever heard. Even for a short film, for like less than 30 minutes, somebody still did 5 days.
So, wow. Yeah. So we're really going to be pulling out all the stops on the day to get it done. But, you know, again, that was kind of the way it was written. It was written as a chamber piece. So the number of setups in terms of literally getting the lighting rigs sorted and getting your camera in place is actually massively reduced because it is one scene. It is one scene that plays out. So we should be okay, but it's still going to be, I don't know, it's going to be grueling, you know? It's going to be a tough one, but it'll be worth it.
I imagine a 24-hour day on that day.
Yeah, I try not to think about that at the moment, but it will be good.
Wow, so we've been talking to Alon Young from the Indiegogo project patron.
Yep.
do give to this project. This is a subject that needs to be addressed, and we will find out more as soon as Alon lets us know, and we welcome you back when the project's done to talk about how it went.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you guys have been great hosts, and I really appreciate the platform that you've given me today. So you were, thank you very much. Really, quite humbled by it. Like, I really appreciate the fact that you guys invited me on. So, yeah, let's stay in touch, and obviously, I'll just I'll keep you kind of in the loop as to how the production goes. But it's going well, and we just want it to continue going well. So, yeah, just as many people that can back us, just be great.
Yes, really thank good. You.
All
thank
right.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
Once you see him, you can't unsee him.
Okay, Twitter poll. If you could stay one age forever, what would it be?
What about the age we are right now?
Seriously?
Sometimes I wish we could just get out of this stupid town together.
Ask you. He wanted to know if she ever talked about running away.
Check this out. Here is the last site she visited.
Slender Man. He preys on innocent youth.
What was that?
I think this is how we get Katie back.
Those who hear the three bells toll accept his invitation. When you hear the first, you must close your eyes.
Katie!
Opening your eyes only once you've heard the third.
He gets in your head like a virus.
Some he takes, some he drives mad.
Once you see him, you can't unsee him.
Problem. Where's Remy?
Dude, I need you to come with me, okay? Something went wrong.
What happened? Where is he? Is he okay? What were the two of you doing?
We were up on the mall, kicking back and lighting up, you know, just some weed. And then he got weird. He started shaking and he got real quiet.
Where is he?
I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna show you, fool. So, I hear you're leaving.
I'm going to Texas.
Texas? Why Texas?
Because it's where my old man lives. My mom's boyfriend doesn't want me around, and Abuela is going into a senior housing unit.
Those cowboys are going to mess you up, man.
I got my bow stick. I'll teach them how a samurai fights.
You know, a big wooden stick ain't going to impress them. So, you told anyone at the dojo? You know, Sensei Park?
Yeah, I told him. Thought he might be able to offer me a place to crash 3 months till I'm 18. But Sensei Park didn't offer.
Dude, he has three daughters. That Blanca gives me the eye all the time.
Oh, you dream, fool.
So, you're really leaving?
I gotta go, end of the week.
Man, you gotta decide to stay. Tell your old man you're staying.
Where do I live? What do I eat?
You can couch surf. Hell, you can stay with me and my mom for a couple of days.
I don't know. Where the hell are we going?
The roof of the mall.
The mall's not even open.
Just a little bit further. Here, this is the ladder to the roof.
This is the place you guys choose to light up?
Yeah, Remy always gets paranoid. Climb this.
Help me up.
I got you, man.
I'm up.
Over here.
Fool, you're standing on a skylight. You're gonna fall through.
No, man. See, just stay on the middle path. Remy walks on these things, and he's way bigger than you.
Wow, you can see the entire inside of the mall.
I was thinking about getting one of those cameras and mounting it up here, looking down halter tops and stuff.
Dude, you'll get caught, and they'll take your camera.
If I get caught, and if I use my camera.
And it's weird.
Come on, the path is safe. I've walked it dozens of times.
Where's Remy?
Come on.
You should have just called 911.
I tried, man, but, you know, my phone was out. Right after the shooting star, the whole thing sparked and then quit working.
Shooting star?
Yeah, about midnight. Come on, Alonzo. Look, there's Remy.
Dude, he looks messed up.
No, he's fine, man. God, Remy, you smell. Maybe you puked. Fool's gone crazy! Grab him! He's trying to bite me!
Careful, he's breaking!
Get him off me! I can't move.
Where am I? I can't see you!
Don't move, dude! Foot is caught. You're hanging off a cable from the roof. You're all twisted in it.
I can't reach the floor.
Dude, I'm on the floor. But it's not so good down here.
Are you okay?
No, man. Nothing works. I'm all broke, man.
I can't see you.
Your hoodie's over your head. That cable's holding it.
What?
Wait, I think some people are coming.
Then have them cut me down, fool!
Dude, Remy's getting back up. Oh man, these people are all messed up, just like Remy. No! God!
Are you okay? Sal! Sal!
You're listening to EMZT Radio. From 1428elm.com, Bruce Campbell is back on TV in AMC's new series, Lodge 49. Last November, it was reported that Bruce Campbell was filming a new AMC show, Lodge 49. It's set to premiere on August 6th at 10 p.m. On Twitter, Bruce Campbell had a message for his fans, quote, "New TV show coming. You should watch it. Why? You'll see," end quote. From The Hollywood Reporter was a review of the new Paul Giamatti-produced series on AMC, Lodge 49. In November 2017, it was reported that the actor was filming the show in Atlanta. He will be playing a character named Gary Green. Campbell will be appearing in episodes 7, 8, 9 of the series. According to IMDb, The Solemn Duty of the Squire, Something from Nothing, and Apogee will air in 2019. Here's what we know so far about Lodge 49, courtesy of the official trailer. The offbeat show follows the adventures of Dud, played by Wyatt Russell, son of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. By all accounts, he seems to be the affable sort of guy, like a younger version of the dude from The Big Lebowski. Right off the bat, we are introduced to him asking the owner of a pawn shop if it is bad business to loan money to a guy like him. Evidently, he isn't making sound decisions in his life. His sister Liz, played by Sonia Cassidy, seems exasperated with his apparent lack of ambition. While using his metal detector on the beach, he finds a ring with a lynx on it. Just like that, he is led to the doors of Lodge 49, where he meets up with Ernie, played by Brent Jennings. Upon opening the door, Ernie cryptically exclaims, "I've been waiting for you." Finally, it seems like he has found his purpose within the walls of the lynx. Liz, on the other hand, seems doubtful that his interaction with the group will lead to anything fruitful. From Dud's side, Liz is clearly miserable and tries to put a damper on his adventure-seeking. In order to get by at her mundane job at Shamrock's, she's wasted most of the time, or so she tells a customer who apparently has romantic designs on her. Just by viewing the trailer, you can see the dynamics between the characters with the way they interact with one another. From what is seen, this has all the makings of a fun show peppered with an eccentric cast. it reminds me of a beachy version of the old CBS series Northern Exposure. I am excited by the prospect of Bruce Campbell being involved with Lodge 49. While we don't have a clue as to what Gary Green is like, it will be nice to see him on the small screen in a role that doesn't involve shotguns, demons, chainsaws, and copious amounts of blood. No, that's not what I think. We know Bruce is all into that. It's good to see you again, Bruce. Make sure to tune in to AMC on August 6th at 10 p.m. to catch the first episode of this delightful series. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
Oh, dear Lord Jesus, this ain't happening, man. This can't be happening, man. This isn't happening.
And that wraps up another episode of EMZT Radio. Yeah, thank you to Anon Young for talking to us today about his project Patron.
Absolutely. And don't forget, you can check that out over at Indiegogo. Links in the description. And as always, find us everywhere you can find us. We are all over the place. We have our own Discord, Facebook, Twitter. We actually have a YouTube page that we haven't done much with, but we're going to do more with the YouTube page. Also, check out the streaming. It's Fallout Mondays. We got Old School Tuesdays. Still doing Devil May Cry 3. We might be doing Devil May Cry 3 for a while. Not Devil May Cry 3. Devil May Cry Definitive Edition.
Not right. 3. That's still good.
It's still a very good game, and I'm enjoying it. All right, and on Thursdays, starting August the 16th, and we're going to be moving the chill out stream to Thursday night. That's where we'll play anything for about 2 hours. Zombie Stomping Saturday. We actually talked about that in the open. So check out Zombie Stomping Saturday. And, of course, the AMA Sundays. Come in, ask anything. I'll be happy to, you know, answer questions. And basically, it's a extension of the chill out stream.
All right.
There you go. That's everything I've got.
Oh, yeah, Calabrese is going back into the studio for their next album.
Sweet, sweet.
Sweet, sweet. I'm in the process of editing videos for our YouTube.
Sweet.
Where Boom Doom has this thing, he's loving Minecraft tutorials, and we did it Halloween style in a Halloween world. So he's got a lot he talks about.
Awesome.
And we had some more unboxings and unbaggings as Boom Doom did one for a candy store, a local candy store. So
I'm hoping to actually be able to start getting the Rue Morgue boxes here soon and do some unboxing videos for that. Oh, by the way, she did not ask for this, but I'm going to give it to her anyways. Our friend, the Homicidal Homemaker, who is on Shudder, for those of you who don't know, she has a couple. You mentioned Calabrese earlier, and that's what reminded me of this.
Yes.
She actually has a couple on her Facebook, not Facebook, but her YouTube page, Ask Calabrese.
Does she?
Yes, and they're funny.
They are.
Go check it out, because it's great. So stop over the Homicidal Homemaker's YouTube page.
And she went to one of their last concerts.
Yep. And also tweet her and tell her that it was EMZT that sent you.
Yes.
So she can yell at us.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Yep. Anyways, check out our Discord again. So anyways, I'm done.
Okay.
I'm done.
And stay tuned for another episode of EMZT Radio.
You are all my children now.